It is so good to have everyone with us today. We're going to continue our study in prayer, but we're taking it in a new direction. I'm going to share with you something that I know to be true based on the Word of God. And I'm going to share with you exactly what God's will is for you in a certain area in your life. And that's what we're going to look at today. So let me read the scripture to you and then we'll move forward. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says this. Well, I'll start in verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So the Word of God is given to us. And the New Testament is given to us. So as we read these promises and study the Word of God, we come to a conclusion that we are saved. So if you've been saved, the more you study the Word of God, the more you realize, I know I'm saved. And that's what that scripture says. And then he goes on to say that if you are saved, you not only have eternal life, but that you may believe on the name of the Son of God for the things that you need. Yeah. So you continue praying and asking, believing and trusting, expecting God to do things for you and in your life. And then we get to the part we've been studying. Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call on You today, I ask for forgiveness of daily and weekly sin that I confess out loud to You in my prayer closet. It hurts me at times to name these sins before You vocally. And though I know it's not true, but I feel so unworthy of Your blood. But not by anything that I have done, but what You have done on Your cross and by Your mercy allows me to ask for Your blood to cleanse me of my sin. And I do that. I ask for a cleansing of Your blood, but I also ask to be changed by Your Spirit. I pray with Paul that You would mortify areas in my flesh that are sin and evil against You. And so I ask right now, as we study this today, Lord Jesus, that You would mortify the sin of anxiety in my life that is a result of a lack of trust in You in certain areas. And Father, I pray right now for an anointing of Your Spirit. And I pray, Lord Jesus, to be filled with Your Spirit. Let me decrease as You increase. Let me wash the feet of those that are listening as a servant. Nothing about me needs to be known. All we need to know is You and Your truth to set us free. So, Holy Spirit, I ask You as the perfect teacher to teach all of us as we look at Your Word. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, we have been studying 3 points about prayer for the last few weeks. Number one was that God delights and desires to answer our prayers. He wants us to ask so that He can give. And then number two, we are to bring our prayers, and His goal is for us to have our prayers molded within the parameters of His will and His plan for us. And number three, in every prayer that I pray, my ultimate goal and His ultimate goal for me is that, Lord, be glorified in this situation and be glorified as a result of this sin. Not just, Lord, I've called upon You in the day of trouble, deliver me. Psalm 50:15 says, I've called upon You in the day of trouble, You have delivered me, and I will glorify You. Would you say that with me? I will glorify You. That's our reason for being here after our salvation. When you come here to sing a song, I will glorify You. When we play music on the piano, I will glorify You. When I get in this pulpit, it better be, I will glorify You. So, that was the third point that we studied. The second point is the most difficult. And that's 1 John 5. Look at what he says. Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in You, Jesus. If we ask anything according to Your will, You hear us. So I want to be praying in the will of God. Not always easy. Not always easy to find out what His will is, but as long as we stay in that season of prayer over a certain circumstance, a situation, or issue, the Holy Spirit will bring us there and we'll notice that our requests have changed over time. We start out, honestly, just praying what we think is best for us all the time with the caveat of saying, Lord, I know You know what's best, so mold me into this. Bring me into this. So I want to share with you something you can pray for today, very specific, that you can know without a doubt this is the will of God for you. And we'll start out in Philippians chapter 4. So go with me to Philippians chapter 4 and let me tell you what God wants for you today in this area in your life. And we have studied what God wants for us in certain other areas of our life. But I want to share with you definitively, according to the Word of God, what the Lord wants for you. I'll read you, let's see, 1, 2, 3. 3 verses of Scripture, and then we'll come back to where we started. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this. In the King James, it says, be careful for nothing. I'm going to give you the Greek words here in a moment. But in verse 6, it says this. Be full of anxiety, stress, or worry for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep and guard and fill your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I want to hit verse 6a. In nothing be filled with anxiety, stress, or worry. Now I'm going to prove to you that is God's will for your life. Now, in all these Greek words that we're studying, there is a time factor. So I want to add this. In nothing, go through a season or a period of time of stress or worry or anxiety. There's an area in your life that for the last 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years or for the last lifetime that you've been living, you consistently and constantly worry about this area in your life. I'm going to show you in the Scriptures today, this is not God's will for your life. And when you leave this message today and come for the next few weeks, hopefully you're going to find yourself, when you fall back in this trap, you're going to stand up and say, this is not God's desire for me right now. This is not the way God wants me to think. This is not what God has for me. Let me show you another one. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 6. Go to Matthew chapter 6. And this is just the introduction message. We're going to go in deeper detail in the weeks to come. in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. In the King James it says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow." In the Greek, it actually means, "Be not anxious, troubled, or worried about your future." Be not anxious, troubled, or worried about your future. Word for Jesus. Some people, I seem to think that it's spiritual to be burdened all the time. That it's spiritual to be overly concerned about things all the time. It is not God's will that you be troubled, anxious, or worried. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is the third. 1 Peter chapter 5. And hopefully you know this verse. I taught Daniel this verse when he was a child. Patty teaches this verse in the back. It has two incredibly important points. And in the King James it says this, "Casting all your care upon the Lord because or for He cares for you." So number one, I just want to praise God. God cares for you. That's a great message. That's good news. God cares for you. God cares about me. I have a caring and compassionate God, and He is caring and compassionate toward every area of my life. And according to 1 Peter, He's very caring and compassionate toward the areas of my life where I'm filled with anxiety and worry and stress. Yeah. So I want to praise Jesus for that. But I want you to notice that word casting. It infers a divine exchange or a divine transfer. Something you got to do, and then there's something God's going to do. And so I want you to understand, as we go back, going back to Philippians chapter 4, and I'll share with you some points here. God is asking us to go into our prayer closet with a conscious decision, a conscious act, a conscious will that I am giving over to God my stress, anxiety, and worry in this area of my life. Now, you're either going to believe in what I'm teaching you or you're not. And if you don't believe in the miracle that I'm teaching, you don't pray. Because you're praying without faith and you're praying without expectation, and it's not going to happen. So in Philippians 4, verse 6, the Scripture says, "Be full of care and worry and anxiety about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Everything. "And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus." So the divine exchange in the prayer closet is this. You want to go in there, and if you're worried about a child, or worried about a job, or worried about money, or whatever it is, you want to go in there, and ever before you get an answer from God, before you get guidance from God, before you get a deliverance from God, you've got to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to transfer, to take away your stress, and replace it with God's peace. Because you'll never hear the voice of God while you're stressing out. You'll never hear the voice of God while you're overwhelmed in anxiety. You've got to take this thing to the Lord. Now, Brother Leo, what if I get this phone call that drives me to my knees? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something you've been worrying about for the last 5 years. This is not God's will for you. We'll study that later. What we're talking about today is a continuous season of worry or anxiety or stress that concerns a person in your life, a situation in your life, whatever it may be. I just want you to come out of here today knowing this is not God's will for me. He does not want my mind overcome with these thoughts. Now, let me give you the Greek word for what the King James says, translates in verse 6 as careful. And there's a series of words that are used in the Greek. This is merimna, M-E-R-I-M-N-A. And all these words relate to this word. This is how the Greek
origin of which the Word of God was written describes what we're looking at. Care that brings disruption to your heart and mind.
Care that brings disruption to your heart and mind, so it affects your emotions. That's how the Greeks describe worry. The synonyms are anxiety, worry, and stress. I've been teaching. I've already thrown that out at you.
To be troubled mentally. E.M. Bounds calls it the besetting sin of worry. To constantly be disturbed in your spirit.
Does everybody agree? I mean, this is not God's will for us. This is not God's will for us. So if we're living in this, and I've been under these clouds, if we're living in this, there's got to be an answer, and there's got to be a power, and there's got to be an action by which I can transfer my stress, give it to Him, and He can give to me His peace. That passes understanding. So let me just quote a few things to you, and then we'll move on. It is God's will that your mind is free from worry, anxiety, and stress. It's God's will that your mind be free from worry, anxiety, and stress.
We agree with that.
Do you think anybody going to be worrying in heaven? You think we're going to run into each other and say, how was your week last week? And hell, old man, it was stress.
I don't think anybody's going to say that. We're going to be running around free as a bird saying, man, I'm so full of peace, 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 peace.
I never knew I could feel this way. Man, I'm so light. Well, you got the Holy Spirit here. You've got the Holy Spirit here.
God wants you to live in the blessed condition daily enjoying His peace that passes understanding.
Yes. Now, in Philippians 4:8, you are introduced to that phrase, the peace that passes understanding. But let me show you how God is the source of your peace. Jesus is. And notice what He says. Keep in mind the peace that passes understanding. Go with me to John chapter 14. Go with me to John chapter 14. Look at the scripture. In John chapter 14, Jesus says this. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's stress, that's anxiety, that's worry. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, what I want you to understand, when Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, number one, the source of peace is Jesus Christ.
You say, well, Lil, that's basic. Well, I want you to understand something. Why does Paul describe it as the peace that passes understanding?
Why does Jesus describe it as a peace that the world cannot give?
Well, it's simply this. God's peace has nothing to do with the circumstances.
All right, you need to write that down. God's peace has nothing to do with the circumstances. What I'm teaching you about today is your circumstances may never change, but you can still walk and live daily filled with the peace of God.
A lot of times we say, boy, if we can get out of this, I'll go back to a normal situation where I have the peace of God. That's not going to honor Jesus. That's not going to give glory to God. That's not going to allow you to experience this miraculous work of the Holy Spirit by which you go into a prayer closet and you transfer the stress and anxiety and worry, you cast it upon the Lord upward, and then downwardly you feel the power of the Holy Spirit and the peace of God enveloping you and filling you. Wait a minute, Brother Leo. I sure don't believe in that. Well, then close the book and go home. Because that's what he's talking about. That experience where you come out and your wife looks at you and says, I can tell you've got the peace now. I've got it.
This is what we're going to do. This is the direction we go.
This is the decision we make. I've got His peace now. Now I'm filled with it. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, what are we going to do for money? I don't know. What are we going to, you know, are you going to send your resume? I don't know.
But all I know is right now I got to go back over there and step down, and then we'll see what God's going to go. But I know the decision I am to make.
Amen.
And so it's the peace that passes understanding. Verse 27 of John 14. I don't give you peace like the world gives you. You ever seen somebody where everything's just going right for them? Oh man, everything's going good. And man, they got so much peace and they love the world. Everything's great. Well, let me tell you something. Don't give those folks too long. I guarantee you the circumstances will change. Because we live in a fallen world. We're fallen people. And things can be great today and bottomed out tomorrow. But the unchangeable is God and the things that He gives us. And so those are the things we got to have. Those are the things we need. And then you'll see, when you start grasping this, you'll see situations arise in your life that used to absolutely tear you up and put you in a state of paralysis and burn you down, and you'll be marching through those things with the peace of God. And that's what our goal is. That's what we're asking for. It is God's will that you be filled with His peace. Go into 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You say, well, Brother Leo, you know, I've got a doctor's appointment coming up and I'm concerned about it. I'm not talking about that. I've got an interview coming up for a job, and I'm a little bit worried and anxious. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a river of confusion and anxiety and stress that has run through your life for the last 30 years. It's time to drain it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says this, God is not the author of confusion. God is the source of peace. God is a source of peace. So, anytime you've got confusion, just disturbing your spirit, just doing all these things to you, you got to stand up. You got to say, this is not God's plan for me. This is not God's desire for me. I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to allow the Lord to give me some of His peace. I'm going to ask for His peace. Peace in the Greek in here is the word Irene, E-I-R-E-N-E. And it means this, to be untroubled and undisturbed. To be untroubled and undisturbed. It means an absence of strife. An absence of strife. It means a sense of well-being
and it means inner rest. R-E-S-T. Inner rest.
I'm not going to take you there, but in Matthew 11, Jesus says, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. That's Philippians 4:6. Come unto me. Give me your stress. I'll give you my peace. We're Mary and we're Martha and we're encumbered and Martha's running about in the stresses of life and she's rushing through. And Mary sits down at the feet of Jesus and Mary says, and the Lord says unto Mary, Mary has chosen the good thing. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. So you got to believe this. You got to go in there and say, Lord, I'm not leaving this prayer closet till I have cast upon you this care and I have received from you your peace.
Your peace.
Go with me to Numbers chapter 6. We studied this last week. Jesus is the source of peace, not circumstances. Boy, I'll feel a whole lot better when this thing's over. My friend, you can feel a whole lot better today. Stress, anxiety, and worry, it is the devil's goal to paralyze you with these things. Numbers chapter 6, we see the Aaronic blessing, the blessing of the priest on the nation of Israel. I want you to grab just one verse, verse 26 of number 6. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Only Jesus can give you peace. Amen. You need to pray that. Lord, I need Your face to shine down upon me right now. Give me peace. Well, Brother Leo, I've always been a warrior. Well, then you've always been out of God's will. Brother Leo, I've always really stressed in this area of my life. You've always been out of God's will in that area of your life. You're going to see the origin of stress, anxiety, and worry is a lack of trust in God. We're not even going there today. We're either going to trust Him with this area or we're going to worry about this area. And so, God is not the author of your stress. God's not the author of your lust. God's not the author of your hate. God's not the author of your jealousy. But somehow we can call those things sins, and we can comfortably live with the sin of anxiety, which is the sin of a lack of trust. We need to start confessing it. And it's freeing me up. We've got to learn to confess that. Brother Leo, the more you preach, the more stuff I learn I need to confess. Well, I'm just preaching it me. The more stuff I'm learning I need to confess. Because then the blood of Jesus cleanses me, and the truth of Jesus sets me free, and the Spirit of Jesus brings something into my life that sin was occupying in my vessel, and once that gets out, I get something good.
Amen.
Thank you. And that's how the process works.
Man, Patty and I were singing the other day, and we, you know, we're not going to try it here.
But we were driving home, and Good Father came on.
And it got to that line where it says, "You take me deeper still, and deeper still, and deeper still. And you just take me deeper still, and deeper still." And I just wanted it to go on and on and on and on and on, because that was my prayer. Lord, take me deeper still, and deeper still, and deeper still.
Because that's His desire for you. Into those refreshing waters. Into that river of living water. To provide for you His peace.
As we're studying it today. God is the source of peace. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Pray that over your child. If your child is worried about something, they're a young child and they're in their bed tonight, you go in and you pray that over them. Lord, lift up Your countenance upon my child and give him or her peace. Your peace. Pray it over yourself. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And we'll study these verses in detail. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says this: "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The Lord will keep you in perfect peace when my mind is stayed on the Lord in trust."
When my mind is stayed on the Lord in trust. And that phrase, "stayed on the Lord," that phrase "stayed on" means to lay hold of. Peter's telling you to cast your care away, and then Isaiah's telling us to lay hold on to God and pull down. His strength and His peace into our life. And that's one of the huge parts of supplication in prayer. We want to exchange things. We want to exchange our weakness for His strength. We want to exchange our foolishness for His wisdom. We want to exchange our stress for His peace.
Well, Brother Little, I thought you just went in a prayer closet and prayed.
Yeah, that's what 90% of the religious people do in this country.
We ritualize prayer.
Prayer is communing. I mean, you're going into the Holy of Holies. Your faith is bringing you in there. The blood of Jesus has made you a new and living way. Draw near to God with boldness, expecting change and power.
Whoever wrote, "I come to the garden alone," they know what's going on.
Whoever wrote, "What a friend we have in Jesus," they know what's going on. Ian Bounds knew it. Dwight L. Moody knew it. You know, there were people that actually knew it and experienced
the power of God in the prayer closet.
I know it. Don't know it like some of the people I read, but I'm not giving up.
You know, I go in there and I breathe that. Take me deeper still. Deeper still. Deeper still. I give this over to You, Lord. I give this over to You, Lord.
I want to pull down Your strength and Your peace from heaven. Before I come out here on a Sunday morning, you know, when I go back there and I am getting in that spirit, I don't believe anybody ought to sing, anybody ought to preach, anybody ought to do anything until they get alone with Jesus.
Amen.
And get their hearts pure and get an anointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not about y'all. It's not about man. It's not about look at me. It's about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We want to decrease. We don't want anybody to know who we are.
Look at what it says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Now,
when you go in there, he's talking about stress because he's talking about peace. You get peace when your mind is straight on and stayed on the Lord. You get overwhelmed with stress when your mind is stayed on the circumstances. The waves.
The horizontal. So you want that transfer to take place.
Those waves that are bothering you, your God's bigger than those waves. Your God walks on those waves. That's why when you get your mind stayed on the Lord, you get elevated into that perspective. You know, I don't walk out here and say, "Okay, I got this." I walk out here and I say, "Okay, God, You got this. You got this." I don't say, "Lord, be with me." I say, "Lord, take hold." I'm sure not going to say, "God is my co-pilot. God is my driver, and I'm sitting in the back seat."
Amen.
So you want to get your mind stayed on the Lord. You want to get it elevated.
Blessed is the man that trusts to lay hold on. Go to Psalm 37. I've only got one more verse, and I'm closing out. About 13 to 12. Before you accuse me,
absolutely no coincidence that the NFL starts today. None whatsoever.
I'm serious. There was a time it would have been. And if the skins get good again, it could come back. Those years were hard to be a preacher. Sunday night, I'm in the pulpit, they're in the Super Bowl. Another Sunday night, I'm in the pulpit, they're in the Super Bowl. Psalm 37, verse 3 says this: "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in Him." Do you see? Commit. Trust. Do good. And in verse 7, he says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him."
EMBALS calls this, and we're going to study it, this is the divine remedy for stress.
And what is it?
You go in your prayer closet. You give over to God your stress, and you believe in the divine exchange. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, take these requests before the Lord that you're worrying about, and the Lord will exchange them and give you His peace that passes understanding. That's what Philippians 4 is saying. The psalmist is saying, you are to rest in the Lord. You're to do that in your prayer closet. And then as you're waiting patiently for the Lord, you get up. You go do good. You go do the things that you're to do in serving God. You be a witness. You trust in God. Delight yourself in God. Have your joy. Commit your way unto the Lord. Deepen your commitment unto the Lord. And as you're doing all these things, you will push stress right out of the door.
See, the devil uses stress to take over.
The devil wants stress to take lordship in your life. He wants anxiety to take lordship in your life. He wants worry to take lordship in your life. That's all he can do now. He can't take your salvation. But he wants you so worried, you're in a state of spiritual and even physical paralysis. You ever met folks that say, boy, if I can get through this, I'll start serving God. If I can get through this, preacher, I'll get back involved. If I can get through this, I'm going to go do this or something in the name of Jesus. No, no, no. The psalmist says, trust in the Lord, rest in the Lord, and do good today. You got to do good today. That's the one thing the Lord told me and Patty when we were going through some things a few years ago as the onslaught was coming upon us. I made a commitment unto the Lord. I said, I will not be out of that pulpit not one Sunday because of this. Not one Sunday. And Patty and I, we're going to counsel more people. We're going to serve more people. We're going to minister in Jesus' name to more people. We're not just going to sit here and stress over this thing. Why? Because that's not God's will for us. God told Noah a flood was coming. Noah didn't go sit in the corner and worry about it because he never even seen it rain, but he knew it must have been bad. I can remember watching the Rugrats years ago. The one little boy was going to get his booster shot. And what was the... Angelica. Angelica told him. She said, man. She goes, those rooster shots. They're bad. They're bad. And he says... And he's crying. And the other little boy comes up and says, what's wrong with you? He says, I'm going to have to get a rooster shot. And they go, well, what's wrong? What's a rooster shot? He goes, I don't know, but it's bad. It's bad. And you know, that's how we live our life. We live our life sometimes in fear and in worry and in anxiety of something that may never happen that we don't even know what the outcome's going to be. And so the devil uses smoke and he uses mirrors to render us ineffectual for God. And so I want you to leave here today knowing one thing. It is not God's will that you be overcome with a season and a spirit of worry and stress and anxiety. And He desires in your prayer closet, and we're going to study this in more detail, He desires that you make a divine exchange. You want to go into that prayer closet with 1 Peter 5:7 in your mind. Lord, I'm coming in here to cast all my care upon You. And you want to have Philippians 4, 6, and 7 in your mind. Lord, I want You to replace it with the peace that passes understanding. I'm not asking You to help me figure this thing out. I'm not asking You to change the circumstances right now. I'm just asking You to give me peace while You work out these things in Your way, for Your glory, and by Your power. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes.